Today on Real Life Radio.
The righteousness of God means there is no, there is no other righteousness God will accept but the righteousness which is of God. Do you think you're going to get to heaven by your good works? No. Who says? God says. It is the righteousness of God himself that God accepts.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
The featured offer of the month. This is a book you will love. Lisa and I have been reading it for a couple of years now, actually. It's a devotion. And you're saying, Jack, what is it? It's the book titled Now I See, but the word see is like the ocean, S-E-A. It's written by Jenny Coate, and she is a wonderful author, and she's bringing you devotions themed around the ocean setting, the dynamics of storms and winds in our lives, challenging moments and times when it's peaceful and calm and beautiful. Now I See by Jenny Coate. You're going to want to get a copy, I promise you. I say this on behalf of Lisa and myself. Now I See by Jenny Coate is an absolute wonderful read.
Now I See, Spiritual Life Lessons from the Sea by Jenny L. Coate. It's available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. That's at jackhibbs.com/realradio, jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians, with a message titled, What Will Happen to You When You Die? Part 2. 1 Corinthians, of course, was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he shares with us the reality of what it means to live and die as a Christian. You see, for the believer, we have the assurance of eternal life. Now, this promise is founded upon the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, which is really, if you think about it, the most important belief in Christianity. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that before God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, there was already light. Jesus is the light of the world, and he promises that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, well, he's going to cleanse us from all of our sin. Now with his message called, What Will Happen When You Die? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
God cannot do anything but the right thing. Remember that when you're reading your Bible or when you're thinking or when you're praying. If you don't understand something about God, just pause, take a deep breath, and default to the nature of God until you have your question answered. What is that? God is righteous. Amen. We've lost sight of righteousness in the church today. Pulpits don't fear the righteousness of God much today. Christians think that God is the big good buddy maybe up in the sky. He's my pal, he's my good old chum. No, he's not. He is God, the righteous one, the Bible says. Romans 3:21 says, but now the, love it, mark it, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. My friends, that verse, honestly, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not kidding. That portion of Romans 3:21, just right there, where that comma ends, you and I could spend the rest of our life meditating and studying what that means. I'll give you a hint. The righteousness of God means there is no, there is no other righteousness God will accept but the righteousness which is of God. Do you think you're going to get to heaven by your good works? No. Who says? God says. It is the righteousness of God himself that God accepts. That's serious. Apart from the law. You know what that means? That by the keeping of the law, you cannot get into heaven. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, that means the law and the prophets are saying, listen to this. Even the righteousness of God through faith, that's how you get it, in Jesus Christ, that's the object, to all and on all who believe. Isn't that wild? If you have faith in Jesus Christ based upon who he is, you receive the righteousness of God. Who says? God says. That is the gospel. Galatians 3:6. Galatians 3:6 tells us, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. This is a great argument, you guys, because if you're Jewish this morning, and I've had this argument both on this side of the Atlantic and on the other side, is I'm Jewish, I'm going to heaven. What do you believe? I'm a son of Abraham. Do you believe in the Messiah? No. Well, the Bible says if you don't have the Son, you can't have the Father. The Bible says if you don't know the Father, you can't know the Son. Proverbs 30 verse 4 says God has a Son. Psalm 2 says God has a Son. What do you know about that? Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says God has a Son. Isaiah 9, 6 says God has a Son. Isaiah 7, 14 says God has a Son. Zechariah 9, 9 says God has a Son. All bonus verses not on the screen, so don't even look at the screen. What are you looking at the screen for? The Bible says God has a Son. And you would say, oh, no, I'm a son of Abraham. Based on what? You can't say you keep the law because you don't, you know it. Well, yeah, but, oh, yeah, I try, but I fail. Okay, then what's your blood sacrifice? Because that's commanded. Oh, I don't have one. So then what? I do good works and I'm circumcised. So I'm a child of Abraham. No, you're not. No, you're not. You have to believe that God has provided all the righteousness that comes from his Son at the cross when Jesus died, and then to empower what he did, he rose from the grave. How awesome is that? God is righteous. Romans 4:22. And therefore, it was accounted to him, Abraham, for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake. I'm going to give you a tip off. When I come to the end of this verse, will you shout amen like you were going to anyway? Now, it was not written for his sake only that it was imputed to him, that is Abraham, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead.
Amen.
That is the gospel. It is incredible. It's awesome. Number three, from beyond eternity, his love is revealed. God's love. What comes to mind when you think of the love of God? I can tell you this. It's too short. It's too small. It's not enough when you think about the love of God. You and I can think about it so much, but we can't grasp it. We can't take it all in. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another. Okay, stop right there. Without the love of God in our lives, that ain't possible. But because we're believers, look, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's the second time he said that in those few verses. In this, the love of God was revealed, manifest, made known toward us. Well, how? In what way? That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Do you know what a great way of understanding that statement is? That we might live through him? Watch this. I do no damage to that statement when I say this. That we might live through him because he has us to live through in this world. How are people going to know the love of God? What's it going to fall out of a fog bank? Is it going to descend from us from a balloon? It's going to come from you, from me. Verse 10 says, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Ephesians 5, 2 says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. What a holy, beautiful thing. Listen to this. His love has been revealed from beyond eternity because God is love. It comes out of him. Now, you and I need love. Did you know that that's one of the profound truths of our human existence? Someone would say, what are the things that man needs to sustain life? And we think about all these things and we most often define it wrong. But I mean, obviously you need air. You need food at some point, water at some point. But you can even have all the food and water in the world. If you don't have love, if you're not loved by someone, you're going to suffer some serious consequences. Did you know that? God made us relational creatures. I know, you know, we often think, I don't need anybody. Only a profound, insecure person will say such a falsehood. Yeah, we do. When we walk with God, the Bible says, we walk in His love and we walk with Him. Christianity is not easy. True Christianity is not easy. Because we're living in a, listen, we're invading, as a believer, we're invading hostile territory. This world's lost, man. We've been deployed into a dangerous, dark world. And what's our target? Souls that Satan has blinded, who he wants to cart off into hell. And so we are on enemy territory, enemy occupied territory. But we walk with God. You guys, a week ago from today, we were on vacation, and it was the first vacation we had a chance to take as a family together. And so we had our granddaughter with us. And it was so cool because we're walking on the beach, and she's my little beach buddy. Everybody else wanted to sleep in, but she didn't want to sleep in. She'd get up early, and I'd be up waiting for her to wake up. She'd get up, and we'd sneak out, and we'd go to the beach. And we'd walk along the beach. And it was so cool because you know what? Last week she discovered it, almost 2 years of age, she discovered her footprints. And in the wet sand, she's walking, and then she looked down and she saw her footprints in the sand, and then the water would come up and take them away, and she'd look back to see, where'd they go? And then she would do it again, and it would happen again, and then we were walking, and she's really having a ball with her footprints, and she's looking at my footprints, and then as we kept walking, I noticed she was trying to step in my footprints. And in walking in the sand, it was a little bit unstable for her because she's 23 months. But as soon as she figured out that, hey, this papa of mine has taken his 210 pounds ahead of me and has compacted the sand in his footsteps so that if I step in his footsteps, it sure goes a lot easier. And so what she had to do, she put her arms out to balance herself. And to make the stride, she put her foot in my footprints. And it was amazing because her footprints, both of ours, at that moment, you could only see my footprints because her little 28 pounds, whatever she is, didn't even make a dent in my 200 plus pounds. And so she was in my footsteps, walking in the way of Papa with, listen, the only effort she had was to stay in the footsteps. Thus she balanced herself. You and I read our Bibles and we balance ourselves in the Word of God. But we walk with Christ in His steps. He compacted, put down everything that would trip us. He put down, He removed everything that would harm us. He goes ahead of us. We've walked with Him. We've got to be balanced in the Word. But we walk in His steps.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Which leads us to this, very similar. From beyond eternity, His light shines forth. What will happen to you when you die? Will you enter into the light, into the presence of God? It's an awesome thing to notice that before God ever created the sun and the moon, by the way, the Bible says, let there be light, right? God reveals Himself to His material universe, and before there was a sun and before there was a moon, there was the light of God emanating the opening throes of His creation before the sun is ever created. And I love it because in the book of Revelation, guess what? What begins in Genesis is answered in Revelation. The sun is no longer needed, nor the moon in the book of Revelation, the Bible says, because when the day of God begins eternity, there's no sun or moon in heaven in eternity. Did you know that? So, man, that's a drag. Oh, no, it's no drag. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the light thereof. How cool is that? God's light. It's not only physical, but spiritual. The Bible says in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Do you believe that there's no God? The Bible says you're a fool. I didn't call you a fool. Don't come argue with me after service. God says, the Bible says you're a fool. And it's an amazing word in Hebrew because it means a person who looks at all the evidence and says, nope, nope, nope. Thus, God has the right to say, what a fool. You've got all the evidence and you don't believe. Romans 1:21. What happens to you when you die? Will you see the light of God or the darkness of hell? Romans 1:21 says, because although they knew God or knew of God, they knew about God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile, empty, silly in their thoughts. Does that not describe our culture? And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. 1 John 1:5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That's beautiful. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Walk with God in his light. What will happen to you? Watch. When you die, you will just go from this artificial lighting. I say the sun. I say these halogen bulbs in this sanctuary. We go from this world, artificial lighting. We walk right into the lighting of the very face of God. I can't wait. I mean, I will wait until that moment comes, but I'm excited about it. As I was putting this very point together this week, my phone rang, and I got word that a friend of mine is not long in this world, who loves the Lord, who's going to see him face to face. And it was amazing because I made a point in my notes, writing down these things. At this moment, my phone rang, and news came that I have a brother that's about ready to go see Jesus. Can you say that? Do you believe that? Do you know that as a fact, not as a hope, but as an assured truth in your life? Number 5, holiness. From beyond eternity, his holiness exists. From beyond eternity, Jesus, listen to what the Bible says. Jesus was and is forever the Son of God. His holiness, God is holy. What does that mean? He's pure. So, you see, we can go on all day because what does that mean? What does it mean to be holy and pure? We can't wrap our brains around it, but God is holy. He's sinless. Listen, God cannot sin. Oh, so there's something God cannot do. Yes, he cannot sin. He has no sin nature. Did you know that? He can't. So there are some things impossible for your God. Yes, he can't sin. He's sinless. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for your salvation's sake that he's sinless, that he's perfect, holy, pure? Isn't it interesting? The book of Habakkuk says that God is so pure that he cannot look upon evil. Isn't it interesting that from 12 o'clock noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the Bible says that when Jesus was crucified for our sins, the scripture says that the sky turned dark from 12 to 3 o'clock. As God heaped on Christ all of our sins as Jesus died in our place. It's amazing. The holiness of God. Exodus 3:13 says, you know the encounter, Mount Sinai, that Moses said to God after meeting with him there on the mountaintop, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Church, I want you to mark this down. Go research it later. You guys awake?
Yes.
Moses encounters God. God says to Moses, tell the people of Israel, I am has sent you to them. In your Bibles, it's capital I and then capital A-M, I am. It is Yahweh, the Lord, God. The word means he has no beginning, he has no ending, he's self-contained. He's outside of our limitations. Moses, when you talk to them, you tell them the one who is all eternal, who is all holy, who is all pure, has sent you to them. And then lo and behold, Jesus Christ comes along, and seven times, there's a key to that, seven times Jesus says in the New Testament, I am. In Greek, ego eimi. Which is, so what? It's the same word from Mount Sinai. Jesus said, Moses met me at the burning bush. That's awesome. How big is your Jesus? Well, which Jesus are we talking about? The Jesus of Hinduism? Buddhism? Mormonism? Watchtower Society? Islam? None of those Jesuses. That's not my Jesus. My Jesus is the Jesus of the Bible, altogether different, altogether holy and pure, altogether eternal. The message is all about him and what he's done for us. He alone is righteous. He alone is light. He's alone our Savior. Number six, from beyond eternity, his justice is proclaimed, the justice of God. This is tough for us. I have a couple of points coming up left, but this is that we're going to struggle with, but you need to hear this through. Justice. The only thing that we hear today about justice is either how perverse our justice system is or this word social justice. And it sounds cute on the surface, but social justice is, when you get down to the bottom of it, it's a very sad thing because it's godless. Let me say this. The Church of Jesus Christ in the earth, starting with this one, should lead the way in justice. So we leave that up to the courts. Oh, don't do that. So what do you expect us to do? You know how you and I vote, and we always come across judges to vote for? Have you ever seen that in your ballot? You vote for them. Did you know that? Nobody knows who these people are. And so you go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I guess I'll pick mo. We don't know. We need to study who those people are more than anybody. Why? Because they make the rules forever, these people. We need to know them, find out about them. Why? Because the Bible says, and our system still works off of this, that we are to select from among ourselves people to govern over us. Did you know that? We pick our rulers. You're an American. Are you not an American? Americans pick their leaders. So what am I saying? The Christian and the church should lead the way as an example regarding justice. So what is justice? This is why I always stress you to register to vote and to get involved. What is justice? Justice is your biblical worldview in action. Don't look to the politicians to feed the homeless. We are to feed them. Amen. Don't look to the politicians to do this or to do that. You know what they should be doing? They should be taking down those big power poles, which are ugly as all sin. They should be paving our streets, making sure the lights work right, you right? They should be making sure that when you flush your toilet, everything goes to where it goes, that miraculous land somewhere where all the stuff goes. That's their job, not to crawl into your life and say, this is what you believe and this is what you'll not believe, this is what you'll do with your family and not do with your family. They're supposed to help us flush our toilets, not govern over or dictate things to our kids.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, What Will Happen to You When You Die, Part 2. We're glad you're here today. You know, this message that you just heard is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Well, everybody, it is an election year, and I don't know what your pastor talks about in election year, but I just keep doing the same thing over and over again as a pastor that happens to be in America. I know our history and I know our culture today, and we need God back in our country. We need God back in our decision-making as a nation. Our leaders have gone astray. The decisions that they've made
and those that we have sent to office are sending this country headlong into great, great peril. We're asking for God's mercy to be extended upon this nation, that God would be merciful to us as believers, merciful to us as a country, merciful to us as a state. May God visit you wherever you may be, my friend, that he would have his mercy upon us, that we might once again hear the word of God proclaimed from coast to coast, from border to border, in Jesus' name.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.